Blog Talk Radio.
Our strength and song, shout for victory.
Shammai Yashur Allah Ahaya Shema Yashur Allah Ahaya
Shalom, family, and welcome again to Restoring the Daughters of Zion, GOTC's first women's show designed with you in mind. Of course, those first two musical interludes that you heard were the Song of Moses, Exodus 15 in its entirety, and our dedication, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, is one. I'm your host, Sister Shirley, and co-hosting is Sister Carol. Carol, am I coming in loud and clear?
Coming in. Fantastic tonight. Shalom, wonderful. Family.
Shalom, shalom, Carol. How's it going down there?
Pretty good.
Good.
The weather has been hot, but the rain just cooled everything off, so we're doing good.
We didn't get any rain. I'm grateful for that, but my plants are hot. We didn't get any, but it has definitely cooled down. I'm actually sitting on the deck. You know, I refused to not have a little bit of this summer because the contractors stole the whole month of July. You know, so I couldn't get out here, and so now I'm out here, dealing with a few bites here and there, maybe a lot of bites, I don't know, but nonetheless, I just needed to be out here in this wonderful, wonderful sunshine to get that vitamin D. And so I'm really excited about that. But I'm really glad that we are on tonight. Sometimes we just apologize that we don't make it on. Sometimes it's technical difficulties. Sometimes it's a greater need that we're dealing with. And that need could be anywhere from counseling someone that's really in trouble or dealing with situations that are more closer to us. And so it's, like we said, we do apologize for times that we miss, but when we get back here, we're so excited to be back with our sisters and to be able to, you know, get this show going. And we hope that, you know, we will get this closer and closer where you guys are more in tune so that if I'm not here a day, maybe you can work with Carol. Or if Carol's not available, maybe you can work with me. So, you know, listen, stay tuned, guys, and get in close so that you will be able to be a part of the program because this is for the sisters. And, you know, of course, we want to make sure you're in good standing in your congregation. Like now, Sister Jackie has come on with us, and we're really excited about that. But nonetheless, I don't want to belabor the issue. I want us to get started. So we are coming to you live via Blog Talk Radio International. If you want to be a part of the program, part of the round table to ask a question, to make a comment, dial in for yourself at 515-605-9327. That's 515-605-9327. Or you can simply listen in by going to the Blog Talk webpage and click on www.blogtalkradio.com/GOCC Church. You can also listen in on the phone. You don't have to press 1, get in the host queue. You can just remain quiet, and you don't even have to worry about muting the phone, because until I put you press 1 and get into the host queue and we bring you in, you have no worries, okay? It's almost like the same thing with the radio show with Elder Carr, where you call in, and you can either listen in or you can press 1, and then he drags you in, and then the fear of God comes in, you know. But nonetheless, it's the same process, okay? Or you can reach out to us via email, private email, to restoringthedaughtersofzion@gmail.com. That's restoringthedaughtersofzion@gmail.com. Now, I know a lot of you do have my direct phone number, and you can text me with commentary also. I prefer you to press 1 and get into the host queue, because I love to hear your voice, and everybody else loves to see all the participation. But we will make the statements of what you send. And if you have my number, or if you have Sister Carol's number, I'm not going to give it over the air, because I've already got enough robocalls, okay? So, that said, we're going to get on with the show. Carol, I do want you to open with prayer, but before we go in prayer, I want to make a quick announcement, and that is, today earlier, Elder Carr got online and made some very, very important announcements and gave details about the church's stance on hospitals and going to hospitals and things of that nature, our relationship with hospitals. And I more than recommend that everyone take a listen, because it's necessary during this time that we're dealing with to really get an understanding of the church's stance on what we feel, what the church feels, what we agree on as far as seeking medical attention. It's very necessary for you to listen to that so that you're not confused. We are living in a time of mass confusion, and there's a lot of, what do you call it, where everything is like distracting us and making us think one way. And in some ways, we all think we are health professionals because we've healed certain things about ourselves. But we need to make sure we're on the right page when it comes down to the medical environment. So, okay, it came on today, and you should be able to find it on YouTube. If you cannot locate it, you know, send me a text message, send us an email, we'll get you hooked up with it, okay? Last announcement I do want to make is, left my mind, hold on one second. There's one other thing I needed to say, but I guess it'll come back to me. But nonetheless, okay, so take a listen to that. And all right, Carol, you can go ahead and lead us in prayer, and I pray that my mind gets back to the second announcement that I need to make. Shut up.
Write everything smart down. Man. That's all I can say, girl.
Yeah, my husband tells me that every day. Every day. You need to write things down.
Yeah, well, it's true.
You're like, you know, yeah, yeah. So let me, say that again?
We get distracted. I mean, things fly out of my head so fast that I can't believe that I can't remember some things from moment to moment. Wow.
I know, and it's like right there on the tip of my tongue, and I can't bring it, but go ahead.
Well, I want to start out by reading Philippians 4, starting at the 6th verse, and I'm only going to go 2 verses.
Okay.
The scripture says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Mm-hmm. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Yeshua.
Amen.
Thank
That's a
you,
lovely
Father,
thing with peace.
Yes, it is. Father, we thank you tonight for your word, your precious Holy Scriptures, Father.
Yes.
We thank you for who you are.
Mm.
Song says, give thanks with a grateful heart.
Amen, amen.
And we're giving thanks with a grateful heart to the Holy One. Thanks because you've given us Yeshua Christ, the Son. I love that scripture. I mean, that song. Father, I thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you that we can come to you every week. And ask you to guide this show, because you know what? It's nothing if it's our word. It's only good if we use your words, Father.
Amen and amen.
Tonight, bless the agenda. Bless the people that call in, those who don't call in that are just listening, Father. We're asking you to watch over the congregation through this COVID extension of whatever it is.
Mm.
Father, we're asking you to keep us safe and well. We know that it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. There's no getting away. Our days are no longer than you deem them to be. But you tell us simply to number our days and to remember that we can go to sleep tonight and tomorrow isn't promised to any of us.
Mm.
So we're all going to thank you, Father, for the air that we breathe. Thank you for another blood-bought day.
Amen.
And once again, I ask you to make this program be edification to us all. In the name of Ahayah, Bashem, Yeshaya, Waruach, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. I really appreciate that prayer. And my mind stays on. You know, on what you were saying. And so I guess that whatever else I have to announce, it will come back to me if that be the Most High as well. But nonetheless, Sister Jackie, I don't see one pressed again. If you're still out there, press one so that I can make sure you're still in the host queue. Also, Sister Betty, if you're out there, press 1. Okay, Jackie, I see you. Sister Betty, if you're out there, press 1, get into the host queue. If you change your number, text me your new number, because I see some numbers that are press 1, but I'm not sure who that is, and I don't want to intrude on anybody, even though I'd love to. All right, so we're going to continue to talk about the Lord's Prayer, because we want to finish that up today, hopefully. And why are we belaboring this about prayer? You know, and I just think that, well, first of all, we haven't gotten through it, and we have a tendency, and I know you guys know it, probably been talking about us behind our backs, but anyway, we do have a tendency to start things and not always finish them, you know. Something else jumps ahead, and we get on to something else. So we're trying to really stick this out because it's really, really, really important. And see, I think that one of the well, let me bring in Jackie, and I'm going to bring in, hold on. Hey, Shalom, Jackie. Shalom. All right, so you're in here, so you can just jump in anytime, too. But I want to say that the Lord's Prayer, you know, you ever notice how the scriptures are just like a circular, they come in a circle constantly. You know what I mean? And it's like the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer is like the Ten Commandments. It connects us with the Father and with each other. The first part of the Lord's Prayer connects us with the Father, and the last part is basically connecting us with one another, you know, forgive each other and all that stuff, just like the Ten Commandments. The first part was teaching us how to love God, the importance of God in our lives, and then the last part was all about loving one another also. And so it's like Christ is the image of the invisible God. And so what he brought to us is the same thing, you know? And it's
Amen.
So amazing how the Ten Commandments, how the Lord's Prayer is so connected with that. And I know we talked about Father already, but just that word Father, it's like, it's showing now that we are now reconciled unto the Most High God, that Christ showed us.
Mm-hmm.
By us being able to call him Father, showed that, because before, you know, you didn't hear Moses and the rest of them calling him Father. But once Christ taught us that now we are grafted back in.
Mm-hmm.
It shows that we are part of a family. Okay?
Yes.
As being him, calling him Father, that this is family. That connects us and him. Father. I mean, I thought that was so wonderful. Grafted back in by that spirit of adoption that Paul says, as we cry, Abba, Father, you know.
Amen.
And so so we stay here, in here, because the Lord's Prayer is replete with so much flavor. There's so much to unpack about it that we want to kind of look at it, and we want you guys to bring what you see also, because at us just looking at this, and I mean the fact that here again, with us calling him Father, that also shows us we're joint heirs with Christ.
Yes.
Joint heirs.
Uh-huh.
And he's calling the Most High Father, and so are we. I mean, how precious is that?
Yeah.
And how much responsibility does that bring?
Yes, that's even a greater task.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. To be joint heirs with Christ. It's so amazing. You know, so as we look at this word and we look at what we're dealing with when it comes to the Lord's Prayer, we got a lot to think about here. We've got a lot that the Most High is bringing forth. So if anybody wants to add anything, jump right in, you know.
That brought out last week, the last time we talked about our Father, it just really just lets us know that, you know, our Father has many kids, and he loves all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He loves all of us, and he doesn't want us to pray that me, five, and nobody else. My four and nobody else. So our Father, that just sounds so sweet to my ears, Sister Shirley, when you were just saying that we're joint heirs with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That is so powerful. If you really think about it, that's powerful.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And see, and what I think about too is like, the world at large, you know, has so much dominion over our daily life, so much dominion. And it tries to incorporate things like acknowledging the universe. Haven't you heard people talk about, oh my goodness, look what the universe sent me? Or
yes.
Or don't put that out in the universe. I am so sick of that.
Wow.
Because you know. Yeah. The world at large is acknowledging everything except the Father.
Yes.
Anything.
That's right.
For the happenings that are in their lives, you know. And if you go a little step further, you have religious zealots that are bringing in ancestor worship. Okay? So, you know, it's like, and it actually sounds like, you know, that might be okay, because, you know, my mother, my father, you know, they brought us. That, you know, and it's like the scriptures say no, because right on the heels of our Father, what does it say? Who art in heaven. You understand?
That's right.
He brings out clearly. So the Lord's Prayer is not only teaching us how to pray, it's teaching us who to pray to, who to pray to.
Yeah.
It's not just bringing how to pray.
Amen. Was in heaven, so he's the God that is in heaven. There's no other God in heaven but him.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
I want to piggyback off of what Sister Jackie said. Sister Jackie said something I was going to say was the art part. Who art in heaven? Art means to exist. You exist in heaven. And it's telling us also not to pray to anything on this earth.
Amen. Amen. Isn't
so
that,
we
isn't
have
that,
to pray to the Father that's in
the sound right now.
That's right. Who exists in
that's
heaven.
Powerful.
We're not bowing down to no popes and down here.
That goes for angels. That goes for principalities. That goes for Buddha and all the rest of the crew out there. It goes for all of them because he said, our. Maybe he's not your father. Okay?
Amen.
But he said, our father.
Our father.
Right? Christ said, my sheep know my voice.
That's right.
They know me. So everybody may not be God's sheep, may not be our father's sheep. But nonetheless, I'm just thinking of the distractions that are out there. You know, these common, relatable concepts that stumble so many people. You know, like I said. How about tradition? You know, sometimes tradition is more important than truly knowing God.
Yeah, and you want to know something that's interesting about tradition is that tradition is man's words.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He said, my sheep hear my voice, not man's words. And I want to tell you something, and I've said it before on the show. I was watching this thing about what that actually means. And they showed a bunch of sheep with the Bedouin shepherds, and they were out there with their sheep, and all the sheep were mingling together and you know, just all mixed up, and the shepherds were sitting there chit-chatting with each other. And when it was time to go, one of the Bedouin, one of the shepherds said something, you know, like, oh, you know, some crazy thing like that. And all of a sudden, his sheep ears perked up and followed him right out of there. It was nothing
isn't that
like
beautiful?
You know, it's like when you call your dog, he knows who you are. He's not confused.
Wow.
So
when
he said, let him hear my voice and no other voice will he follow. We know his voice. Just like that.
Yes.
That's powerful, Carol, because I can tell you the day I heard the voice call me, okay, when my soul awoke and I heard the voice, and I don't mean an audible voice either, but all of a sudden, my ears were in tune to the word of the Most High God, and I wanted nothing more than to walk with God. Nothing more. And so, yes, his sheep do hear his voice. They do.
Yeah.
So we gotta make sure that this prayer thing is critical, that we
so critical.
Yeah, it's so critical because there are things out there that we pray for that we're not sure if we should be praying for. And we'll talk about that tonight because the word on the street is if you got a lot of stuff, you're blessed. You know, it's materialism. You know, you got big houses.
Yeah.
And even though we know better than that, we tend to look up to people that have a lot of stuff. You know, we tend to make it known that, you know, man, they're doing well. God has blessed you, you know. because it looks like a blessing, and it doesn't, and it could be, But materialism doesn't necessarily have to be what means you're walking with God. You know,
neither does it mean that you're happy or at peace.
Oh my God, that's for sure. That's for sure, Sister Betty. How many people are, you know, Carol, you mentioned it today, that poem that we learned in college. Can you pull that up right quick, Carol? When we were in school together and taking the same classes, and, you know, sometimes I'd take her class, sometimes she'd take mine. It was hilarious because we looked so much alike. The Gentiles didn't know who we were, you know, and we were just bad kids. So,
well, I just want you to know, I just want you guys to know that when I was working at a major financial company, it was an Asian girl in there, and they went to Long Island University. And she told me that that's exactly what they do because, you know why? They say, because stupid Americans, she says, stupid, can't tell us apart.
There you go.
So we take one class for everybody who's good in English, who's good in math.
There you go. There you go. So bad. So bad.
So, you know.
That's why I still don't know how to spell. But anyway, go ahead.
All right. So here's Richard Corey. Here's Richard Corey. Whenever Richard Corey went downtown, we people on the pavement looked at him. He was a gentleman from sole to crown, clean, favored, and empirically slim. And he was always quietly arrayed, and he was always human when he talked. But still, he fluttered pulses when he said, "Good morning," and he glittered when he walked. And he
God, the
was
devil
rich.
At me. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
He was rich. Yes, richer than a king, and admirably schooled in every grace. And fine, we thought that he was everything to make us wish that we were in his place. So on we worked and waited for the light and went without the meat and cursed the bread. And Richard Corey, one calm summer night, went home and put a bullet through his head.
They have it. You know, and so it's just like you said, Sister Betty, you can have all that stuff. You can have it where people are almost worshiping you when you walk down the street, or maybe when you're standing in the pulpit. You know, you could look like you really got it going on, but it doesn't mean your soul is at peace.
That's
it
right.
It doesn't.
And your children are monsters.
There you go.
There's
there
so many people who have money. Their children are monsters, and they scared of their children, and all kinds of drug addicts they are, and all kinds of stuff going on in their home.
So sad. So sad.
Yeah.
You know? And
money does not buy happiness.
No, it does not. But see, this is why it's very necessary that we know who to pray to and how to pray. Because there's so much distraction out there making making us think there's another way. And it might not be, you know, us as we say, but behind the scenes it's doing it. Behind the scenes. And what about miracles? You know? And business success. You know, think about what Christ said in the last day, that Satan would come with power and lying wonders. Jackie, can you pull up 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 10, 2 Thessalonians. And I just want to bring that out, too, because sometimes we get caught up on things that we see that look like, oh, yeah, they got some serious power, you know, we need to go there, you know. and we need to do what they're doing. We need, no, no, we need to stick with the scriptures. We need to stick with what Christ said, and we need to make sure that we are walking upright and the way that Christ told us to walk, because they're going to be in the last days in particular. The scripture says there would be, say what? You can't find it, Jackie?
I'm trying to type it in. I can't see the print in my...
All right.
Second
Thessalonians 2, 8 through 10. Second Thessalonians. And I just feel like Christ's ministry fosters the that we have to believe in him. You know?
Okay.
But these miracles that we see, we start believing in whoever's doing it. Like, maybe you'll think, like, you know, the elders were talking about in church, the deacon, rather, he was saying that when we sit here and we want to go, well, you know what, I need Elder Ricard to baptize me, or I need Elder Gabar to touch, you know, to put some oil on my head or something like that. And we think we put a lot of faith in man, you know, because
and that's
we...
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And Paul said, well, who is Apollos, you know, and who is this one and that one? It's like we are all walking with Christ. Let's keep our eyes there, you know. And so we need to make sure we know who to pray to. That's the most important.
Amen.
And how to pray. Because our prayers, if we're not praying the way the Most High taught us to pray, or if we're paying attention to things that, like, let's look at that. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 10. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. I hope I wrote the right thing down. Ready, you got it?
Oh, yeah. You want me to read it?
Yeah, please.
Okay. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is afar, the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
Amen. Amen. And so, you know, we don't need to be caught up in things that we see, because there's going to be a lot of stuff like that, these miracles that they're going to be showing and things like that. But the scripture said, who's coming with it? Satan. With the lying wonder.
And the very reason of to distract us as the people, as the people of the Most High that he's chosen and waking us up, and the enemy will come like that to just steal.
Yeah, and I wanna add on to the part that you were saying, that there's so many people who say that they're blessed, you know, with all these things, and that's the word on the street. That if you've got a lot of stuff, you're blessed. But I want to turn to the Beatitudes.
Go ahead. I think I just brought Sister Ora in. So go ahead. Sister Ora, you there?
I'm here. Shalom.
Right. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. And the Beatitudes is in Matthew 5. And I'm going to start out with verse 2. And it says, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I don't hear anything about money yet. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Nothing about money still. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Still no money. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Still, I'm looking for that $50,000 line. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward where? In heaven. Persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So when we hear all these ministers getting people up there talking about $55,000 was in their mailbox when they came home, they were so blessed. That is not what Christ is saying. He is not talking about silver and gold. Amen. He is talking about blessings that he will bestow upon us. And that, to me, is like, where are the messages from the pulpit when instead they're running around talking about living my best life?
And Paul said, silver and gold have I none. But that which I have, I give. Was that Paul or was that Peter? I can't remember.
Peter said,
silver and gold have I none, but that which we have we give unto you. And so, but I just wanted to say what you brought out from the Beatitude. You said, and blessed are those that when men speak all manner of evil against you, but there was one other word behind it, falsely. So if they're speaking all manner of evil against you and it's not false, sorry to hear it, pal. You know, out of order. Okay, but nonetheless, I just think that we're so glad tonight that we can continue to talk about this thing about prayer and how critical it is to know who to pray to and how to pray. Because sometimes health, wealth, and guess what? Personal fulfillment is usually what we're praying about. You know? We usually pray to fulfill our own personal desires. We're going to talk about that tonight. Where are we up to? Where are we up to, Carol?
We finished with Hallowed Be Thy Name. I think we're up to Hallowed Be Thy Name. Because now we touched on
the kingdom coming, I think.
Yeah, when thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Right,
but,
because someone texted me and said, you know, basically about the kingdom, that when we were talking about, and basically we did talk about how everything in the prayer is our and us. It's never about me in particular. Christ taught us to pray collectively and not this where we're praying about my own selfish desires. Now, I'm not saying that we can't come to Christ and ask for things, because just like when Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he said, you know, let this cup pass, you know, that was very personal. That was very personal. But for on a whole, our collective desires have to be looking out for one another, looking out for each other, because if we don't, we don't really love one another. And the scripture says we know that we have passed from death unto life because we what? Love the brethren. So we can talk about that, the kingdom. Let's talk about it. Thy kingdom come. And I know we went there because I remember saying, are we ready for the rulership of the Most High, the way he wants his kingdom to be? Are we ready for that? Are we really ready? Are we really ready to allow that kind of obedience to the Most High God. Like, instead of the laws of man, instead of these laws that we're dealing with down here, okay? So now we're dealing with the laws of God. How about adultery and fornication, guys? You know what I'm saying? Are some of us falling to that?
Yes.
You know, are some of us falling to that?
Uh-huh.
You know,
absolutely.
You know, praying for God's kingdom to come. What happens to adulterers? They can't hang out. They can't. And I want to know, why do you... Absolutely. Why do we want to be... Go ahead, Jackie, go.
Sister Shirley, I think that people really, you know, when we pray thy kingdom come, we know it's going to cost us, first of all. So that's why a lot of times we go all round and about, but God is bringing us right back to his word, thy kingdom come. Can we say thy kingdom come? You know, we have to get to the point we got to first say it, then we'll see it. Then we'll be it. How about that? But a lot of times we're afraid and we want to mix and blend with the kingdom that we see on earth, the houses, the lands, the money, and all of that. And that's where prayer comes in, because we have to ask the Lord to give us the desires that he, you know, to plant his desires in our hearts.
Isn't
you know,
that
we
true?
We have to identify with the Lord's prayer, because I can see how it just connects us to anyhow we want to pray. We still have to pray our Father. You can't pray and leave me out of your prayer. If you know I got to pray, you're going to go and just pray for yourself. That's not the kingdom to come. You're still in elementary school. Come on now. So he wants us to mature. We got to mature quickly at a quick rate about now. Because we're
Amen.
In the last days. We got to be able to stand. We got to, like I said, know my voice. We got to know that we know the Lord's voice, so that when he tells us what to do, that we can hear him and we can respond, and we're not listening to other voices and all these different influences in this kingdom. Because this
That's
is
right.
the kingdom, but this is not God's kingdom.
This is the boiling
right.
pot. This is the boiling pot. And guess what? It gets hot here. It gets hot.
Yeah.
Not as hot as hell, but it gets hot. It gets hot here. And when we you know, and we feel that burn. We feel that burn.
Yeah.
And so because we feel that burn, we think something's wrong. But no. We have to deal with that burn, because that burn is helping us to get rid of, we're in the furnace of adversity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's that furnace, right?
Yes.
So surrendering. We must surrender our will to his will.
Yes. We definitely have to do it. So it's like, you know, to pray for the kingdom to come. Let's keep that in our hearts and keep that in our minds, that we want the kingdom of the Most High. Now, I know there are things about the kingdom that we definitely want, where we don't have to worry about our kids going out in the street and getting shot. You don't have to worry about that. Okay?
Right.
We don't have to worry about some of the things that people are doing, you know, to hurt us. So there are wonderful things about the kingdom. But what about the disciplines? That's what we got to work out here and now. So when we wake up each morning and we're praying and asking God that his kingdom come, we need to keep it in our hearts and in our minds that we got another day to try to get it right. Another day. Another day to change. Another day to transform our hearts and our minds to be ready for the kingdom. Because so many of us are not ready, and that includes me. You know, go ahead, speak.
We
got to
keep hearing his voice. We got to keep hearing his voice, obeying. Because a lot of times we forget, you know. When we are chasing, we are like, why am I hurting? Why is this happening to me? But we don't think that we stop hearing God's voice.
Right.
We were obedient to something, and we cannot stay focused and see, call ourselves into remembrance of what we didn't do and what we should be doing. We're going to always fall. We're going to go over and we're going to keep being in balance, you know. So we have to continue to hear his voice and obey, because we're not going to get chosen. As his children, he's going to chosen us.
And that's that next line, thy will be done. Thy will be done.
Yes.
And that chastening, like you said, just like when Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
Yes.
Are we able to say that when we're in the fire
of
adversity?
And what does that even mean?
Exactly. Let's talk about that.
Yours. You know, when we were studying Shakespeare and stuff like that, sometimes we get the thines and the thous and all that confused. But thy here means your, the Most High's will. And his will is his desire, right? Your desire, your wants. And to be done, what does done mean? When I say something done in the oven, it's finished, it's completed. Completed.
So
thy will be done, completed on the earth. Right?
Yes. To pray for God's will to be done in our lives. And so as we're praying for God's will, you know what he said? He's not willing that any should perish. So one of the most important things we need to be doing is praying for the salvation of those that we can. Praying for our children. Praying for them to come into the kingdom, because he said it's not his will that any should perish. So we need to be constantly praying for people and showing, walking in our lives, our walk has to show that we are transformed by the Lord so we can draw others into the kingdom.
Yes.
That's right.
So important that his will be done. And his will is that none should perish. And if we thought about it, how important is it that our children make it into the kingdom? And that people that are walking past us on a daily basis. You know, we really have to get back into realizing how important it is to preach the gospel with our lives. That it doesn't matter, truthfully, whether I'm happy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so I'm in a relationship with somebody and I'm all involved in worrying about this one and that one and this thing and that thing, but other people around me are seeing me fainting by the wayside. Well, what kind of righteousness is that? What kind of, you know, who wants that? Who wants it? Where is my peace that passes understanding? And I have to ask myself that sometimes when my husband gets on my very last nerve. you have to go back there. Not my will, but thine be done. So now, after I finish complaining and crying and whining and calling 15 people, now I got to go find them same people. And, oh, you know, I'm fine. Everything, all praises to the Most High God. Really? Thy will be done. Thy will be done in my life, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth. So what's happening in heaven?
Righteousness.
Yes.
Right. But remember, like when Christ went to the cross, and, you know, our understanding is that his blood was shed on the altar in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So just what was happening in heaven was happening down here. And you know, the thing with these tabernacles, all of these holy days are being done in the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that will, we're going to do the same things, like rehearse the holy things here.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what the scriptures tell us to do. So what's happening in heaven, we're asking it to be done down here on earth. To be completed down here. And it's almost like a promise we're making to ourselves that we will obey his desires and wishes on this earth, because we know what's going on. We know what his will is from heaven. We should
yeah.
be doing what he's doing down here on earth while we have an opportunity.
Yes. And it's his highest priority. It should be
yeah.
our highest priority, I meant to say. It should be our highest priority to do the will of the Most High. And
isn't
you know,
what Christ said?
Say that again?
I must, isn't that what Christ said when he said, I must do the will of my Father?
Yeah, he said, I
and
must.
And even when
right?
his parents found him, even when his parents found him, he said, I'm doing the work of my Father.
I must be about my Father's business.
Right.
Must.
Uh-huh.
Must.
And that's the answer we got to get about being about our Father's business. Because he has business for us to take care of, and we can't afford to be slack. Because if we do, we're going to let him down. We have to begin to personalize, make it personal, like this is my daddy.
My daddy
growing up was my daddy. He was drunk, but he was my daddy. He was an alcoholic, but that was
mm-hmm.
my daddy. He
mm-hmm.
took care
mm-hmm.
of me. We have to personalize the fact that this is our father.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we have a father. We join hands with him. We have a father. He has all power in his hand. We have a father. Mm-hmm. He's the God of all flesh, even the flesh that won't bow down and humble themselves and serve him and love him. But this is our Father.
Amen.
He claims
amen.
Him.
Amen.
He claims amen. Us.
Mm-hmm.
He claims
mm-hmm.
us.
But
mm-hmm.
he also calls, he calls the children of disobedience the children of the devil.
Well,
right.
Oh well. Oh well. Oh well. So, you know, that's why they might be talking about, ooh, look what the universe bought me. Okay then.
Yep.
And so, and I just want to throw this out there, because sometimes we get caught up in stuff like in the church. We're looking for things that entertain, that will draw people,
uh-huh.
stuff that satisfies us.
You
know, we need a bowling week. You know,
mm-hmm.
we need some kind of a singles party. You know, we need all these things, but are they really drawing us to Christ? You know,
right.
because that's what we need to pay attention to.
Okay.
We need to pay attention to if these things are helping us to do the will of the Most High. You know.
Yeah.
And I understand wanting to have a good time. I love that, you know. But
uh-huh.
if everything we do is all about either teaching something about the Lord or being about his business, let's keep our minds there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I could teach you how to love better, if I could teach you how to walk closer, you know, what? Let's make sure we know, because numerical growth in the church doesn't necessarily mean that we're walking with God. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just because we have a whole lot of members coming, you know? Because if we look
mm-hmm.
back
Come on.
At the, if we look back at the ark, there wasn't but eight folks on there. Nothing but eight. Nothing but eight out of the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't look at to see, well, I mean, let's look at some of these mega churches. Folks piled up in there, you know, knee deep, you know,
yep.
knee deep. And so we all know to run to the Most High God, you know, after things like that, you know, when we're in deep doo-doo, you know, we know how to run to the Most High. But when we are, you know, in service, and we're worried about, you know, being in groups and cliques and all that stuff. No, we need to make sure our spiritual growth, that every day we're growing closer to the Most High in how we walk, in how we talk, in what we do. When paying attention to ourselves is a full-time job. Full-time.
Yes, it is.
Full-time.
Yes.
Just making sure that we are transformed into the image of the Most High. That has to be our main goal. Main goal.
Amen.
And
absolutely,
that's what doing His will is. Transforming our lives. You know that scripture that says, delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart.
Yes.
Now, see, the only way He's going to do that for us is when we make His will a delight in our lives.
Yes.
You know, we have to, like I think it was David said, I delight to do thy will. I delight to do thy will. Can we make that statement? We can make it right now because with the four of us or five of us or however many it is right now, we're enjoying doing God's will right now. Right now. And unless I get up and get off this porch, you know, I'm real good right here, you know? But when out there in the grind, when folks are saying all manner of evil against us falsely, and we are, we're out there doing all that stuff, then what can we say to these things? You know? So,
but we can try very hard, you know? We can try.
Sister Betty, you always bring in the voice of reason, and I really appreciate it. I do. I do. You've given us a place of escape, and I appreciate it because I'm a hard-core character.
Well, let me just say this, guys, that during our service on Sabbath, the brother brought out that this is playtime right now.
Yeah, yeah.
In reference to being tried. Because the scripture says that what's coming is going to make men's hearts fail. We got to start preparing that we're really and truly ready for this when we say this prayer about thy will be done. Because His will, you know, it's a war. That's getting ready to take place. It's not some kind of a cakewalk.
Yes.
And we're always laughing and yucking it up to my, oh, let's go to the wilderness. Nobody really wants to go to the wilderness. I know I don't.
Let's get real here.
Look at when they came out of Egypt talking about the leeks and the garlics and the melon pots and all that mess. But are we going to be talking about the cell phones and all that we had? Now, where's my cell phone?
You know,
I'm out here. I can't even get two
bars.
What's those things called? You know, when you look at your phone, you got five bars, and you'll have zero bars.
And we all hate the 5G. We all hate it. But Lord knows we're ringing our phone up, and then, you know, I need the 12. I need the iPhone 12. Say what?
I hate these phones. I really do.
Okay, Sister Betty.
I do. I prefer. My sheep know my voice. My voice. We better be doing the voice of God when we get in that wilderness, because the cell phones ain't going to be on. We ain't going to have a cell phone.
I told you, stupid, Jackie. But guess what? It's not going to be simple when we get out there and we don't have all these things. I know you guys have been in a position, if not for not paying the bill, if the lights went out because of other reasons, how many times you reach for that light? How many times you reach for that light? Or you go to the sink to turn on the water when no water's coming through. And in some of these high-rise buildings, if the electricity goes off, You can't turn on the water. You can't flush the toilet. You can't do anything because everything works by electricity. And now with these smart homes, forget about it. Forget about it. So we
have you ever lived an amount of time without light? Have any of you ever lived an amount of time without
when you
light?
Say an amount of time, are you talking about up at camp?
No.
Are you talking about when we couldn't pay
tabernacle?
The bill? Or maybe when we couldn't pay the bill, Geek.
In
the light,
yes, exactly.
Out.
And how long was that?
In your normal life, yes. How have you ever?
Now I do know. I do know a couple of people that lives without heat for maybe 2 years. They lived without electricity, and they burned their fireplace. They would bring in wood from outside, and they used their fireplace to get hot, to get warm. And in their homes, there was always this smell of smoke. Okay. And then and then now as far as like some of the other things that go along with that, because I think they did have electricity, but didn't have heat. And I just was miserable, So I'm just saying that we are going to have to get used to a lot of things that we're not. Sister Betty, have you done without it?
Well, I mean, I grew up in the country and for part of the time, we didn't have electricity. We had kerosene lamps. And so, I remember when we first got a radio, we used to go to people's house to watch TV. I used to like to watch Bewitched. And we used to go walk one of a mile to get there. But, it wasn't such a struggle as at that time.
You think
when you're not used to something, when you're not used to it, you're not really missing it. But when you had it and it's taken away, like Sister Aura, I know you had a time in your life where the lights went out for 2 weeks in your neighborhood from a storm.
Actually, it was 8 days, but every day I had to still go to work. I'm just saying, jumping in the cold showers was no joke, and having to buy food out every day because you couldn't cook anything. We had total electric in my house, but all this is like we're just touching on the surface. I'm saying we've got to be like, if you look in the Bible, how before anything happens, there's a Most High is giving us preparation time. Look how long Noah built that ark.
Oh, my
gave
goodness.
Gave the people time. Yeah. Was 120 years? This is not something that's supposed to sneak up on us, because the Most High is giving us time. He's giving us all these warnings. He's even showing us these signs. And a lot of our behaviors are still the same.
We
got to change that, because if we're going to be like those five foolish brides that didn't have no oil in the lamp, and I'm just saying that's like the Holy Spirit. And every day we need to be inquiring about that from the Lord. We need to ask Him to fill us with the Spirit so that we can pray right. So we can love each other, so we can do the Most High's will. Understand, it's like we have to be prepared, and the Most High is giving us a lot of time, because how many years have they been saying this is the last day? You know what I'm saying?
This is
and
true.
Nobody's
this is
changing
true.
Their behavior. I mean, in fact, we're getting worse.
Gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
And even though we see the Bible manifesting itself right now on a regular, because when that bumper crop came out of alternatives, I mean, what did we do? We were shocked. But did it change us? Did it change us?
No.
There's a caller in the queue. You guys, press 1, get into the host queue. We'd like to know, if you've lived without electricity, if you could make it, and not just make it, but to let God's will be done at that time. Because, you might make it, but you could be so angry and upset. I'm going to bring in area code 985. Area code 985, you're on the air with the Daughters of Zion.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you all?
All is well.
What I wanted to say was, well, I have lived without, and I've lived without because of decisions I've made at one point living in war. But even looking back on the things that I've lost because of my own decisions, I know that whenever it happens now, I can handle it because I've already been in the Most High has. He's brought me through it, even in the midst of my own ignorance. He still held me up. So,
Amen.
You know, and then I also just wanted to touch on different things when the sister was speaking about how, you know, we go to, we pray, but we pray for ourselves and we don't pray for anybody else. It reminded me of Moses and how he loved the people so much and he was just doing the will of God that a lot of times Moses was praying for the Most High not to destroy them because of their wickedness. And one of the prayers he said, I prayed therefore unto the Lord. He said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember thy servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look not unto the stubbornness of this people, or to their wickedness, to their sin. Lest the land whence thou broughtest us out say, because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he had brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. Yet they are thy people and thy inheritance, which thou broughtest out by mighty power and by the stretched out arm. And I read that because it was God does so much for us. And he has prophets and his, you know, our leaders to teach us, and we take that for granted. So, you know, when you're reading the stories in the Bible, we're reading Deuteronomy, we're reading Exodus, we're reading Matthews and all of that, that is to prepare us for the wilderness. Numbers and Deuteronomy is to show us what not to do. When you get into that wilderness, don't murmur. Don't bring in the heathen and pagan things to the wilderness. So I just wanted to speak on that.
Sister, thank you. That's really true. And that's what I was asking. I'm going to put you back in the queue, sister. That was wonderful. And that's what I was asking, that when we are in that wilderness, when we are doing without, when we are having to just meager fare or whatever, are we able to continue to do God's will? And like she brought out, not murmuring. You know, and it's like, look, my husband, you know what? He didn't bring no bread home, shoot. You know, something that simple, you know, or something, and yet it's going to be so much worse than that.
Yeah.
Because this is what I meant to bring out. New York. Governor Cuomo, who I felt sorry for, don't ask me why, but I did. He resigned, and I think I felt sorry for him because they're all doing that stuff. And then it's not until you kick somebody off do they utilize, you know, that strategy. But he decided he would have a parting shot. And so he resigned, but he left. He said, now, anybody in the healthcare industry in New York now has to get a COVID shot. Anybody. And he said, we read through part of the edict that he threw out there, and it said something to the tune of, there will be very limited religious exemptions. So I'm saying, if y'all folks are religious, you better get very religious right now. You know,
my boy.
Hold on. So he said, you know, so all of y'all that are working on the Sabbath day, you know, it's like, well, how come you can pass by that? You know what I'm saying? It's
right,
like,
right,
okay,
right.
Now it's time to pull in the reins, because they're going to probably use anything they can to show that you're willing to break the laws of God over here. So how come you can't break it over there? I just kind
of
thought about that, and
people,
I wanted to throw that out there.
A lot of people are going to be going with their heads covered now. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I can't. Step out to pray.
I'm gonna bring in another caller. Hey, y'all wrong. Area code 571. You're on with the Daughters of Zion. Area code 571.
Shalom,
how are you?
Shalom.
Good day.
Yes. Even though I'm sure the wilderness is going to be nothing like I imagine it to be,
right.
I feel like I've been doing little things to prep here and there. I love survival shows, and I watch them daily. And I try to and look forward to at Tabernacles, hopefully, practicing more of the skills that they show on those shows.
Yeah.
So you asked about living without electric. I lived without electric and water for 3 months.
3 months?
Wow.
3 months. And what helped me with it was Tabernacles. So it was a holy day, and it has taught and showed me a lot. So I had a landlord that tried to do a forceful eviction, and before my lease was over, she cut off the electric and the water illegally. So I was like, she don't know who she messing with. I'm ready for this. I had all my Tabernacle equipment. I was like, I'm not going to be nasty and send her videos of, like, full meals. But she did visit one day, and she was like, she knocked on the door, and she's like, so how are you still living here? And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, I know you have no electric and no water. I said, we're fine. She said, you're not leaving? I said, no, we're not. So I was like, not until our court date. No, we're not. So we lasted 3 months until she actually gave us a court date, because I knew that we could withhold rent. And then I knew that she did it illegally, so the judge would not grant her the rent. So it lasted 3 months, and we didn't skip a beat. We filled up containers with water from the Moms and Whole Foods. And we had our propane grills from Tabernacles.
Yes.
We got hot in the house. We stayed outside in the yard and cooked out and stuff like that. We even had company. So, you know, you have candles, you have a lantern. So I was loving it. I was like, she just don't even know.
Okay.
I'm on my favorite Tabernacles.
All right. We got a lot to learn from you. But I'm going to put you back in the queue. Thank you for that. That was wonderful. Okay. But I'm going to tell you like this.
Wilderness prep.
Exactly. But see, we're thinking about material things, too, that we're going to be doing without. We're going to be doing without a lot of other things in the wilderness, because guess what? There's going to be a lot of different folks that have made it out to the wilderness with us that are not going to be righteous living. You understand? And they are going to be, that's what's going to try us even more. And so if you can't deal with what you're being tried with right now, don't just think about, okay, so we learned how to do without lights and electricity and whatever. How about you got folks telling lies and stealing your food and stuff like that? Because everybody out there will not be righteous. Will we still be walking with God? You're going to probably have some groups that are going to be turning against the Most High. Will we be able to stand strong and not fall into that prey? You know, look, Moses brought us out here. Was there not enough graves in Egypt? Hang on. Let's bring in area code 754. Area code 754. You're on the air with the Daughters of Zion.
Shalom, sisters.
Shalom.
You know, in reference to the wilderness, you know, I completely agree with you, Sister Shirley. You know, we definitely, I mean, we're going to see some things. And a lot of times we think, man, you know, well, they in the truth, they know the laws, but even back in the day in the wilderness, we were doing the same thing. Well, we should have stayed in Egypt for all of this. And a lot of times we have to, you know, kind of prepare ourselves mentally and spiritually. I tell my six-year-old daughter, I said, listen, you can't be, mommy, I want this. I said, girl, I said, we're going into a time you're not going to have no option. You know, you're not going to have an option of, oh, you know, rice and beans and this and that tonight. I said, there's going to come a time, you know, to be the most high rule. We're going to be in the wilderness. You're going to have to stick with what you have. And and even, you know, I definitely suggest even fasting more. And that's why I'm definitely trying to.
You know, that's so true.
You know, fasting more, because there's going to be a time we may not eat for a day or two or, you know, or a couple hours. You know, so kind of preparing our bodies for that. And, you know, I went camping when I was a teenager, and I absolutely loved it. You know, I'm working on my own bug repellent with citronella, and there's so many things. I mean, it really humbles you, you know.
Amen.
So
it
truly does humble you. And just to touch on the subject about the vaccine exemption that you ladies was talking about, I work in healthcare. My job tried to play that. They were like, you know, it's required. I was like, oh, all right, well, where can I sign up for the vaccine exemption? You know, and my other coworker was just like, I don't know, you know, because I've always been exempt in the flu shots and everything. And she's like, I don't know if they're going to approve me. I said, girl, listen here. I said, it's none of their concern of what your religion is. I said, you use that religious. I said, you're a child of God, aren't you? She said, well, yeah. I said, well, then use that religious exemption. And we did it, and all praise to the Most High, we got approved. But I told her, I said, listen up. I said, time come flu season. You know you can't take that flu shot, right? Because then they're going to look at you like, well, huh, you can take the, you will exempt the COVID vaccine, but you won't exempt the flu shot. She's like, I'm not going to take it. I said, girl, and even then, I said, don't be surprised, not trying to be negative. I said, but don't be surprised if they start saying, oh, well, you know, you got to cut your hours down. And it still happens to be the people that did the religious exemption. I said, this is one hurdle.
Well,
we just got right. And I said, but you got to stay strong, you know. And I said, listen, there's going to be a time. What's going to happen if your job is threatened? You know, I said, listen, this coming to that time, and a lot of people, I feel for them, because they're just like,
we're not ready.
It's like, they're not ready.
We're not ready, because like, you know what, we're going to see, you're going to see miracles around you too. You're going to see people that look like they, just like they're saying, you know, and I don't want to get into all that, because I do want, I'm going to make an announcement again that Elder Paul was on the phone today. He was on the air, and he made a whole lesson on where the church stands with respect to going through the medical industry, dealing with the hospitals. I recommend that everybody stop and take a listen to that, so that you know what the church's stance is on it. And it wasn't a political agenda either. It was just the truth. Okay, so everyone needs to get out there and hear that and understand that we all have to make our own personal decisions when it comes down to our health.
Exactly.
And you have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But there are, he brought out scripture references and what we should and should not be doing. So take a listen to what the elder did say, okay? And so, you know, what we're talking about here tonight is definitely making the will of the Most High, as in the Lord's Prayer, where he said, thy will be done. Making the Lord's Prayer our top priority, that we will do everything we can, that the will of God takes priority in our life. So regardless of what's going on in our job, regardless to what's going on in the wilderness, regardless to what's going on in our marriage and in our homes and around us, that God's will has to be our priority. That even when we're going through that wilderness, doesn't have to be in a place where we don't have things. That wilderness can be right in your own house. Nobody likes you, you know, because you represent condemnation to them. You know, when they see you, so hear them that Bible beating, you know, whatever. It's things like that. Can we still stand tall? Can we still walk in righteousness?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, sister,
again,
do you have
to prepare now. We got to get
say
that
again.
Right now.
Right, exactly.
As the sister said, we got to prepare now. We got to start getting all that right now.
Right,
get
exactly.
our hearts right.
Yes, yes, to prepare for it. Sister, is that it? Because I'm going to put you back in the queue.
That's it. The water, Sister
all right.
Shirley.
Bless you, sister. Bless you. Sister. All right. All right. Okay, so I'm going to bring in one more caller. Area code 864. Area code 864. You're on the air. Area code 864. You're on the air. Okay, that must have been maybe.
Maybe in the wilderness.
Yeah. All right. So let's continue. Let's continue. So we said that will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? As it is in heaven. Now I'm going to say something, and this is going to be hard, because in heaven, when Christ did what he had to do, died and whatever, what happened in heaven? What they do? You know, something happened in heaven. Do you recall that the wicked one was thrown out, remember? And all those bad angels.
But I thought that happened before he was crucified. You're saying this happened after
he
was
came
crucified?
Down. What I'm saying, period, that what happens in heaven when they were tossed out of when they were put out of heaven, what I'm saying is that the fact that when we're dealing with whatever we're doing on earth, we have to figure out how to get the wickedness out of our homes, too. We have to figure out how to get rid of, and timing, it does. I don't think it mattered whether Christ had gone to the cross or not, or whether or not, you know, but I do know that, I don't remember specifically, but I do know that he was thrown out, because he said he saw Satan falling like lightning, and he took a third of the angels with him, and what have you, and then my thought is, when Job was talking, he said, you know, Satan was up there hanging out, telling lies, you know, accusing the brethren. And so I'm just saying, when there's trouble in our homes and wickedness in our homes, sometimes we can't change it in other people, but we certainly have to change it in ourselves. And if at all possible, now I heard Elder Carr was saying that we do need to get the wickedness out of our house also. It might be hard. It might be hard if it's your 16-year-old child. You know what I'm saying? And so these are things that we need to keep in prayer about, and asking the Most High, how can we deal with these situations that come, that we're trying to make it on earth as it is in heaven. That's my thought on that. It just came into my mind, because what I'm saying is, like, when we hang around people where there's wickedness, we're tempted, whether we realize it or not, we're tempted to do evil. So we have to be careful about being around people that are dealing in wickedness. Okay, so now the next verse was, someone just texted me and said, I'm traveling on Greyhound, and I'm going nuts. There's no electricity on this bus. To charge my phone. You know, see?
Oh, Lord.
Now we're on a bus. We got some kind of help here, but still, not having the way that we're used to.
You can expect anything traveling Greyhound, for real.
I
saw him on Greyhound, right on the arm of the chair.
Right on the arm of the chair, they had stuff to do your cell phones, but that's hysterical.
Don't sit by the bathroom. That's all I can tell you. Don't sit by the bathroom. You're in for some bigger surprises. You know?
Oh, boy.
But the thing about it is that these are simple things that technically we can get used to. We can get used to dealing with our phone service. I'm sitting in my yard on my deck tonight dealing with the show, and it's a wonderful night. But buddy, I'm gonna be sorry tomorrow. These mosquitoes have taken advantage of me.
Oh.
You know? They just had their way with me tonight.
You know what? I went to the dictionary to look up the word wilderness, and they had one meaning is a position of disfavor, especially in a political context.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, it doesn't have to be no phone, no lights, no motor car, not a single luxury. It could just be a very hostile area where, like the scripture said, not a lack of food only, but a lack of the word of the Most High.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
What a barren feeling. They take our Bibles away from us. You know, we can't get up. We can't get up in the morning. This morning I was sitting up. I'm still in First Samuel, and you know, you want some drama? Get the Bible out and read it. You know, season one and season two was pretty serious. But the thing about it is that it'll keep you going. But the thing is, what if they take our Bibles away and don't let us have them? That feeling of desperation, like Carol Chill said, the word of God, the famine of it. Oh my goodness!
Right.
We better hide that word in our hearts where we know.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Early about the drama, because some of us got to be delivered from our TV sets and things that we put into our eye gates. We can go right into the word if we want some drama, and it's fun, and also you're going to grow by it. Also, you were saying, like, look, like sometimes they're having such a good time in the world. We can have a good time in the kingdom. We just got to want the kingdom. I have a good time all the time. And my friends, we talk about the word, we pray, we laugh, and, you know, and it's good. We have to enjoy, we have to learn how to enjoy ourselves for the kingdom to come, the kingdom that we're preparing for, not trying to intermingle with this world, because we're not of this world. We're not citizens
of this world. That's right.
We live in epistles, so it's like, the world recognize who we are, so we just need to really be confident in who we are in Christ and really, like, build on that. So we'll be ready. If we don't build on it now, we're not going to be ready for the wilderness or nothing else. If we don't learn how to love each other, talk to each other, respect each other now, then we won't make it to the wilderness, for real. So.
All right, but I just wanted to say this as well. You know how we get these little scares? Like, at first, when they told us the pandemic was here, everybody was like, let me read the word. Let me find out what's going on. What calling up the pastor, the elders, saying, hey, what can you show me where this is in prophecy? And then you got people joining the church. You got people, I got to get baptized real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, it lasts for a little while. You know what I'm saying? It's like when they put that. The cameras in the room and everybody's saying, oh, the cameras is watching us. But leave them cameras in there for a while and everybody turns back to their self. So I'm just saying, we are given so many opportunities and we're just still, the curtain goes back up and we're walking, you know, we're okay. You know, once the, you know, like, it's like you're watching a movie and you see, you know, once the movie's over, you're back to yourself. You know, you had a tear-jerking movie. But I'm just saying, it's almost like we're being like the frog that you put in the water. You know what I'm saying? Because we keep relaxing because all these things that keep happening, we're just saying, okay, well, you know, you know, just like with the homosexual thing, it came in and we didn't think it was going to get that bad. But guess what? We're very comfortable with around people like that. Our kids have friends that are like that, you know, and nobody's upset about anything. Everybody's just letting everything just kind of, you know, hey, okay, exactly. But we're learning how to tolerate and live with it. We're not trying to hear God's will. You know, we're tolerating it and saying this is okay. But this
most
is, you know,
maybe we're not praying about it.
Exactly.
Right.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we're just pretty soon we'll just be, you know, complacent about the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, to the point,
you know,
that people are coming up in your family like that. And it's like,
yeah.
Well, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. But everything is not a big deal. But if you look back 20 years ago how life was, it's nothing like this, you know?
No.
And we're
no.
not even realizing that, you know? We're not even realizing, it's not even bothering us. We're still not
yeah.
walking with the Most High. We're still not doing what we're supposed to do. And I'm saying, the Most High has given us time and opportunity. And every day, like you said, Sister Shirley, that when we get up in the morning and we're alive, the Most High has given us another day to get it
to
right.
To get it right, yes.
And
Amen.
We
Amen.
Have to start recognizing
Amen.
That. That's all we really
well, let's
do.
Let's talk
because...
about that. Let's go ahead, Jill. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
No, no, you go ahead. Because I can go
no,
on
I was just
going
to say, no, we all, and it's fun. It's right for you to go on and on because let me tell you something when it says, and give us this day our daily bread. Well, let's talk about that, okay? What are we asking for? And let me just throw this out there before you go forward because I know this is a lot to unpack. But when you say, give us this day our daily bread, the first thing I want to talk about is, give us, okay? So it means that your bread, my bread is not just my bread. It's yours too.
Uh-huh.
That give us. So there's that sharing right there that we have to
right.
realize if you don't have any bread, I need to share my bread with you.
Right.
Because he said, give us this day our daily bread. Anybody jump
right.
in and tell me what that means, and press 1, get into the host queue, tell us what that means to you.
Me, myself, and I.
Somebody
you know,
saying
that
it means me, myself, and I. That's for us. Okay.
I feel that it's the Most High. It's the nation
Say
of
that
Israel.
Again.
You know, give us, give his children, give
okay.
all of us, your
mm-hmm.
children, our daily bread.
Okay.
Like he's our God, and so we ask him to take care of us, you know, as
mm-hmm,
children.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Anybody else see anything else?
I thought of the wilderness. When the children of Israel were there and every day manna rained down, they gave them their daily bread every day. And when the Sabbath was coming, he gave them twice as much so they wouldn't have to hunt to gather on the Sabbath day. And that was all they had to eat. And they said it was angels' food. So I think of that when I think of, you know, give us this day our daily bread.
Mm-hmm. Aura, what
and
are you seeing there?
Christ
said, sorry, Carol, go ahead.
It's that Christ is the bread of heaven.
Amen.
His word. Give us
Amen.
The with your
Amen.
Word.
Yes,
this
yes,
is
yes.
Our daily bread.
Right.
That's what I thought
right.
about, too. Yeah.
Right. That bread of life. That's what we need. Daily.
Yeah.
Right.
So that means that we need to be in the word daily. So
daily.
That when he gives us that bread. And, all right, let's share it also. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's share
yeah,
that
that's
word
what he said.
That we got. And you don't, and so when you want to talk to somebody, like I talk to my sisters almost every single day, sometimes 6 times a day. And when we're talking to each other, we need to share that bread. Yes. Share right. that piece of wisdom that the Most High gave us in the morning. You know how you get into that scripture and you read and you get that revelation knowledge that just comes to you. And you can share that drama that you read in scripture. Share it. Share your bread early in the morning. Share it late. Share it with your children. Give them the story because it's our daily bread. We need to do that. We need to continue with that. Give us, and then I see one more thing, and I didn't hear Sister Jackie chime in yet, but I see one more thing when it says, give us this day our daily bread. We are absolutely dependent upon the Most High for our food.
Yes.
And that's what it means. And so when we have a job and we're ready to not do God's will, we have to realize who's really giving us our bread.
That's
right. It's not manufacturers Hanover. It's not these jobs that are giving us the bread. It is the Most High that is giving us our daily bread, and we sometimes forget that. And we will break the laws of God because we don't really trust that is our day. I'm not telling anybody not to work on the Sabbath day because this is a hard thing for us. And we know there's grace. And sometimes one thing I did notice is at, you know, like in the scripture in particular, like when you work in the medical field and stuff like that, the scripture said that David ate the show bread. In Samuel, he went and asked, you know, is there any bread here that I can get? And he said, we only got the holy bread. And he said, yeah, well, bring it, you know. And he ate it.
Yep.
He ate the holy bread and fed his people. And so the thing is that there's a time when stuff like that will happen. But what we're saying is that let's know in our hearts that it's really the Most High that is feeding us, you know, and that is giving us the bread so that we do depend on Him. And sometimes if it means you have to, you know, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day? Do that good. You know, definitely walk in the spirit of the law. But the bottom line is to remember who it is that's giving us our bread. And I'm saying that because a lot of times when we're dealing with who is giving us the bread, sometimes we will bend our own morals to keep a job because we think, I don't want to lose my job. So they asked me to write this person up, and she really didn't do as much as they're saying, but let me write her up because that's what they told me to do. Sometimes we do things like that. I was in that position. I know. It's not simple, especially when you think you're getting paid by that job, and if it's a high-paying job, it's like, look out. I don't want to lose my job. Not simple. I see another caller in the queue. Unless somebody else wants to bring something, I'll bring the next caller in. All right. Area code 504. Area code 504, you're on the air with the Daughters of Zion.
All praise to the Most High God in Christ. Shalom, shalom, my sisters. How y'all doing?
Shalom.
Well. Oh, can y'all hear me good?
Yes.
Can y'all hear me? Okay. All right. This is Sister Carla.
Hey, sister.
All right. Y'all can hear me? Okay. All praise to the Most High. But I just wanted to piggyback off what you had said, Sister Shirley, in terms of the, you know, give us this day our daily bread. I'd like to piggyback off of that and add to that, if I may, Sister, because the Most High's word, I think that scripture where we are in the desert and the manna from heaven comes down and feed us. And so that would bring to mind to me that bread, that manna from heaven, You know, give us this day your daily. Give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread, your bread, the manna that comes from heaven, that fall fresh is on us, you know, through the Holy Spirit, the anointing that gives us that ability to burst
hold
fresh
on, hold
every
on.
Day.
Whoever's in the background with noise, please mute your phone. But go ahead. I'm sorry, sister. Continue.
That's okay. I say it's that fresh anointing that he gives us straight from the Shemayim, the heavens, that that we can give out every day to others to give them the love, the help, the ability to let them see that manner that we got, we giving it to them. And then through that, we can go ahead and push through. And then when they know that
Amen.
Spirit and that manner coming from heaven, because God is spirit, not flesh like us. And
Amen.
When that manner comes through, baby, look at here. We all over the place with the anointing, just giving it to the Father. But I also want to say all y'all who helped me to bury my son, I'm Sister Carl. I want to especially thank each and every one of you for helping me bury my only son. The church did help me again, and through that, the Most High is using me to bring forth my truth, the truth. He helped me through that dark time to help me through this time. And he has allowed me to have a platform to teach the younger women, to let them know what it is we must be looking for. And we must love ourselves through the Spirit of God, because Christ said the kingdom of God is in us first. And when we understand that, and I'm 48 years old, and I'm not ashamed to say, I'm just not learning that. And all glory be to the Most High. I've been with the church since 2009. But all praise,
because
lo and behold.
What congregation are you with? What congregation are you with, sister?
The Gathering of Christ Church here in Louisiana.
No. Louisiana, that's where I want to know. Okay. All
yes,
right.
ma'am.
All right.
So I just wanted to put in that input. I love you all. Be blessed. The name of my channel is Divine Benevolence on YouTube. If you want to check me out, please do. All glory be to the Most High. And that's what that channel for. And in honor for my son, I'm just putting it out there.
All praise. Take good care now. All right, I'm going to put you back in the queue. That was wonderful. That's wonderful.
Shalom.
You know, all praises. You know, the Most High is working. You know, he's working in us. We are traveling, and it's not a simple place that we're in. But, you know, we made a few laughs and jokes about some things, but Lord knows we are much better than we used to be. Can we give that testimony that we are better than we used to be? That we are no longer out there. And our feet took our feet out of the miry clay. And we want to just show thanks for that. But we just want to get better. We want to climb higher and higher from glory to glory and keep on spiraling upward, because it's not hard as it's going to be. And we need to make sure that our souls are anchored in the Lord. Anchored. Yes. So, all right. So,
you know,
give us this day.
I just want to say something in reference to what you said.
Mm-hmm.
We know that this is a hard walk.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But the scripture says the way of the transgressor is hard.
Yeah, wow. Wow. Yeah.
They think they've got it easy.
Yeah,
but when you're transgressing the Most High's laws and commandments, this is not an easy walk. The Bible says that sin is fun for a season.
But see, and I'm gonna tell you what makes that way of the transgressor so hard. What makes that so hard is their hearts are empty and burnt out. You know, their hearts, they don't have that peace. Don't you remember how things were before you came to know Christ? That agony that you just felt, where there was no real peace in your soul. And because when we came to Christ, he didn't necessarily change our geography. You know, he didn't necessarily take us out of that place, but he took things out of our soul, like foul language all of a sudden left, you know, like that low feeling where you didn't want to live or you didn't care whether you live or die, left. You know, he said, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. But there are burdens. There are burdens. Okay?
And it's sin, like, sin has consequences.
I was thinking
the same thing, the consequences of our choices. We talked about the economy. And I know before I came into the truth, I only knew about the good stuff in Deuteronomy 28, about the blessings.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke those blessings over us, but we never knew about the curses. So the transgressor is so hard because they made bad choices and there are consequences attached to those choices because a lot of times we get our daily bread, going back to the daily bread now, that's what we're talking about. We get our daily bread, but it's contingent upon our obedience because the word of God is conditional. It's like if you do this, then you will be blessed. If you don't do this, you are not going to be blessed. If we don't read the word, we're going to suffer the consequences. If we don't speak the word, there are consequences. But on the other hand, if we meditate, pray, speak the word, think the word, we're going to have greater consequences, and we can experience the peace that surpasses all our natural understanding. We can really experience that all the time.
You know, you're so right.
If we
got a sister, that
we go eat the good of the land.
Amen.
Yes.
A sister wrote in and said, that's so true. I am in Deuteronomy like I need popcorn. The word is so good. That's why scripture says man shall not live by bread alone. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Most High God. And so that's where we definitely want to be, where our hunger and thirst is for righteousness, because the scripture says we shall be filled, you know? So we can definitely look forward to that daily bread, that time that we can spend with the Most High God and enjoy his presence. And
all that we get, let it be understanding. We got to understand that.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's get into what's the next one, Carol? Forgiveness, isn't it?
Forgiveness.
Give us this day our daily, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Anybody got anything to say about that? Press one, get into the host queue and talk to us about what the Lord's Prayer means when it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You guys chime in.
Okay.
Sister Betty, or Carol, go ahead. What do you got to say?
You know, in our church, in our congregation, we always say, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. Because those debts are our sins that the Most High repaid. He offered himself up as payment for our debts. And you know,
the sins are trespasses.
We were morally bankrupt when Christ stepped in. We couldn't, as they say, pay attention to what we needed to pay back for our debt. So that's what comes to my mind when I think of that debt that we were in. And the Most High forgave us for all that, how deep we were in a hole, talking about debt ratio and stuff like that when you think of finances. We were all up there claiming bankruptcy, every last one of us. And the Most High gave us an 8.0 or 9.0 rating right away by taking our place on the cross.
You know,
we have to ask for forgiveness for the sins that we constantly do on a daily basis. And we can't go with the Christian church that says once saved, always saved, because if that was the case, then we would definitely be using grace as a cloak
of liberty.
Cloaking device. Yeah. All right. All right.
And may I add is that we must also see our trespasses against one another. And forgive others as we will want the Most High to forgive us.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting that you should say that, because it's like, now we already know the scripture says not to let the sun go down on your wrath. But daily we're asking the Most High to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So how do we walk around with ought against our brother and our sister in a congregation? How do we ever have a problem with anybody if every day, at least three times a day, we're asking the Most High to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us? We
and it says the way we forgive them.
Yes.
It's like
yes, the same
if
way.
We don't forgive them, Christ isn't going to forgive us.
Right. Yeah, and I know that he continues to say us. I didn't see anywhere. Even if we're praying by ourselves, we should be saying our Father.
Collective,
help us, because the very thing that we're dealing with, somebody else in the body, somewhere else over the four corners of the earth, they're dealing with that same issue. So
Amen.
We should always be praying, be mindful, this is our Father, and I'm praying for my brothers and sisters. I'm praying for us, not just for me. We gotta incorporate that us and that our into our prayer, so that our words can be pleasing, and we can identify with what the Lord's prayer is saying throughout our prayer.
Amen. Amen.
You know something I want to add to that? Think about it. Paul said that Christ said, sorry, we're the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And what took place in the holies of holies? The high priest would go in and pray for what? The sins of the people.
And we're still
so
doing
we're
that.
Being taught to pray for the sins of our people, the children of Israel.
Wow. That's right. Wow. And, you know, there's another scripture, too, that says, you have not because you ask amiss. You know, and that we're asking for selfish reasons.
With our laundry list.
Self-actualization. We're looking for fulfillment. You know, dear God, make me a bird so I can fly high. You know, it's all of that that we're asking for. All about me. All about me. It's all 100% about me. And sometimes, I'll make a testimony, because I know in many of the years that I was married and I was in what I would consider a hard place, I bought and paid for it myself, but nonetheless, I was in a hard place, caught between a rock and a hard place in my first marriage. And early in life, I always knew how to pray, well, how to go to God. How about that? Because whenever we're in trouble, we know how to go to God. And I just felt like I would be praying so much for me. You know, it's like, God, do something over here. I'm hurting, you know. It was all about me. And I wasn't the one in trouble. It was my husband who was in trouble. You understand? He was the one I needed to be praying for. And it, or at a bare minimum, us, you know. But the bottom line is that sometimes when we're in pain, that's all we think of is asking about ourselves, you know.
Instead of asking forgiveness.
There you go. And so, you know, the scripture says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. It's time for us to put away childish things. It's time for us to become men in ministry, in the things of Christ. It's time for us to stand tall and be able to pray for one another like that, to have that kind of zeal on our knees before the Lord for our children that have stepped outside of God's will, to have that kind of forgiveness for anybody who we thought did something wrong to us. Think about it.
Amen.
Has someone wronged you and you're still thinking about it, where in the back of your heart and in your mind you're kind of rolling your eyes at them just a little bit? You know what I'm saying? Like when you see them, you're like, you know, you're kind of growling a little bit, even though you don't want to see them dead, you know, or maybe, hope not. But nonetheless, when people have done enough stuff to you, it's not simple to just say, Father.
Yes, but you know, the worst has been.
Is that Betty?
Yes.
Go ahead, Betty.
The worst has been and sin not. And
okay.
The thing is, how many sundowns have gone down on your anger?
It's a mess.
How many? And see, we're constantly sinning because we have not forgiven.
Well, see, sometimes you don't even know you're angry. Sometimes you don't even know you're angry, and you're holding on to
stuff. Because we don't check our heart.
There you go.
We don't check
our heart. This is what I'm asking about. Mm-hmm. We need to check our hearts and make sure, and I think we need to even do more. I think we need to make an effort to make that person our friend, if at all possible. Like the scripture says, as much as it lies within you, live at peace with all men. So if there's somebody, and I'm talking about these silly little things, I'm not talking about somebody who you was married to who beat the crap out of you and you drag them back home. I'm not talking about that, you know, because sometimes there is a time to separate, you know, when life, you know, is threatened in situations like that, and you have to take that before the throne. But what I'm saying is, just somebody did you wrong. Are we able to really bless them with our soul? Are we able to forgive them like God forgave us? Are we able to? I don't know. That's a challenge, guys. That's a challenge to grow.
Why not?
I don't know. I'm just asking. I'm putting it out there. Because when I say that, it's like sometimes you carry around stuff and you don't even know you're carrying it. So I'm challenging us all to search our souls and see if there be any wickedness. You know that prayer that David prays when he says, search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wickedness, you know? And if I have done these things, then let this happen to me and let that happen. Can we pray like that? I'm scared.
That's a hard thing.
You better have your fingers crossed. You better have your fingers crossed.
But there is a scripture that talks about how we're supposed to examine ourselves.
Yes.
All the time. I mean, if we're doing that every day just to make sure, you know, and just like you said, asking God, because we can examine ourselves, but we don't bring God in it. Hey,
well,
you know,
it is.
It's like saying, no, I'm not doing nothing, you know. But we have to listen to see what the Most High is telling us that is really where we haven't forgiven someone, or we, you know, we really need to.
Sometimes what will happen to you is that the Lord will allow a situation to come upon
That's
you
right.
very similar to what you did to somebody else in a whole different vein. And then it will sometimes make you see how wrong you were. That you had clean up to do in your life. And I've had to actually go back and say to somebody, you know what? I'm sorry, because I didn't realize that I was being that way. Once that came to me, a thou art the man moment, you know, where you get that knowledge that you messed up by looking at another situation. And you say, oh my goodness, I see me here, and I need to clean that up. So it's all kinds of ways that we have to figure out how to forgive one another. And just learning how to walk in forgiveness. And there's one thing that's really critical. Just let it go. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
It's the easiest thing to do and the hardest is to just
right.
let it go. Just let it go. Just leave it alone.
And person, many times
yeah.
a person is walking around happy and you're still mad.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
And
yep.
they can care yeah. less what you thought about.
We hold on forgiveness against people. The Bible says that it says the rottenness of the bones, and it really works against us. It doesn't work against the person that we call ourselves mad at. They're gone on about their business, and we walk
oh, no.
around
enjoying
so
life.
Works against, you know, the Bible tells us to. It tells us to speak those things that are not as though they were. So this is why we need to speak the word, even if it don't seem like we're there. Just speak it, because then we speak in words of faith. Once we speak it, then our mind starts to think it, and then we start to become what we're saying. We'll become that. But we have to faith by faith just speak the word. Speak what it says. Speak it. Speak life.
Well,
like, I don't see death. I see life. I see great. Father, I see greatness in our lives. I see us studying your word. Father, I see us praying, and I see us crying out to you, even though we may not be doing that.
Amen.
But this is going to cultivate. We're cultivating an environment by our words. We're making it happen. We're shaping it, because life and death is in the power of our tongue.
Yes.
How about speaking that about our children? You know,
yeah.
how about speaking that
our
life
children.
Into them? Just
right.
blessing them with our mouths.
Yes.
If we can
yes.
just
that's
start
perfect.
Blessing people. Even
yeah.
those that have offended you, it's hard to think about this. If someone has offended you, and then someone else comes around you and they've offended you too, you get it's very tempting to say, well, you know what? I know he did that because this is what he did to me. You know,
right.
it's
right.
very easy to join that party. Very easy.
Yes.
So it we yeah. have to. It's a struggle. To cut the crap, you know,
right.
and to become the image of the Most High God,
right.
to become the image of Christ, rather, to become the image of Christ. This is what we want to
yeah.
do. And so it's a lifetime achievement project. We know that.
It
the bad
it's
thing
a
is
journey.
We don't.
It's a journey.
Yeah, we don't know how long that lifetime will be. So we got to be real careful.
Right.
You know,
but, you know, it's a matter of training ourselves, though, because we have to, it's not, you know, it doesn't happen overnight, but like you guys have been saying, you just got to keep saying it, just like Galatians 2:20, it talks about, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, you know, that, you know, we got to do what he's saying, put on those clothes, you know, this
yes,
is what he's
yes,
telling
yes.
us we need to do. And it's a daily walk, and once you get that habitual thing where you're just doing this naturally, you know, things will start. You'll start knowing that you're growing when you start seeing that
amen.
Fruit. You know,
amen. So that we need to walk in that kind of forgiveness, so that peace is with us, and that we can bless somebody with our hearts and mouths, and then turn back someone, restore them in love. So when that person comes up to us and says, you know what he did to me, instead of sharing, that he did the same thing to me the other day, if we can just restore them in love and say, you know what, let's pray for him because I've fallen like that in the past too. You know, I've had my conversation. I've had my conversation in that area, and it's not that simple. So let's continue to pray for one another, because we all are trying to make it into the kingdom. That has to be our heartfelt desire, that we can push past the nonsense, because technically all of it is nonsense when it comes down to the fact that we're standing before the throne of grace and we're sitting here talking about, well, you know, she didn't speak to me last week in church, and so I felt like, you know, who's going to do that? Who's going to do that? It doesn't even make any sense. In this
little
walk,
children.
Well, that's what I said. Let's grow up. Let's grow up. And
if
I became a man.
If we realize what's at stake, you know.
Yes.
Our lives, what is it? As a, you know, our salvation is what is on the line, and we don't realize that.
Mm-hmm. So now the last part is lead us not into temptation. Now, what do y'all think of that? And I know there's a few thoughts about that, because when I think of the Spirit led Christ into the wilderness, I'm trying to understand, you know, it's like, I don't want to go there. You know, it's like
that part always confuses me a little bit.
It could mean that let us not succumb to it. I've seen that in commentary, but I think that I'd like the elders to expound more upon it. You know, because I don't know enough about that, and I didn't find enough to bring out more than the fact that I'm not interested in going into the wilderness. You know, we have another caller in the queue. I think, yeah, I'm going to bring this caller in and see if they're going to add anything to this. 985, area code 985, you're on the air with the Daughters of Zion.
The only thing that I wanted to add, when it says lead us not into temptation, what I get from it is that once we're in the temptation, let us not fall for it. You know, like Christ was tried with the temptation, but he didn't get into it. So that's what I understand, my understanding of it.
Yeah, and see, and the scripture says that God doesn't tempt us with evil either. That scripture says. So we have to, but the scripture right behind that is, deliver us from evil. Father, deliver us.
The part that I want to bring out is what Sister Jackie keeps expounding on is, it says us.
Right.
Not just you. It's the nation.
There you go. This is true.
To keep the nation from the trial time, because he says that there's no temptation that has befallen man. That's what's the scripture? How does
such
it go?
Common to man.
That has befallen that is not common.
It's such as
right.
Man.
And through the temptation, what does he always do?
Deliver us away of escape.
Amen. Well, see, now let's look back. Let's look back, because we also saw when there was sin in the camp, Most God allowed the Israelites to get their behinds whipped out there. He allowed
that.
When there was sin in the camp.
Didn't he allow Job to be tempted?
Say that again, ma'am.
Didn't he allow Job to be tested?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't even want to go there.
I get
scared when I mention his name, you know, because, you know, have you considered my servant, Joan? No. Have you considered my servant, Shirley? You know, it's like.
I just want to say I'm out of here.
He knows who we are.
Oh, my goodness. That's a hard place.
But you know, I guess this lead us not into temptation is sort of like asking the Most High to keep us away from our triggers. You understand? Because a lot of times we go in places where we know we shouldn't be, or somebody, a friend, or you think they're a friend,
comes into your life, and they're bringing the devil with them. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
It's like a lot of times we have people in our lives and we have places in our lives that we don't have any business being with or being there. And sometimes we say, well, you know what? It'll be okay if I go down there, knowing that we're not that strong, but we're still going to try to brave it.
Yeah, yes, this is a very, very true. Very true. And, you know, and because we, a lot of times when you said, like, we think we have gotten our strength,
right.
sometimes we have to go down that path to find out we didn't.
Right.
Yep.
Sometimes we have to go down that very path to let us know you are not strong yet. He says, watch what you say, lest ye be tested. And thank you for that. I'm going to put you back in the queue. Yeah, yeah.
Living in a city, we are surrounded by temptation.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. So many temptations. But you know what? What tempts you doesn't necessarily tempt me. You know, almost like that sister said in the church, it's very easy for you not to commit adultery if ain't nobody chasing behind you. Don't nobody want you. It's easy. You ain't going to have no whole lot of struggle. but let some slick-looking guy come your way, smooth talking. And let there be some problems in your life. Now you've got a little bit more of a challenge. And that might be more difficult. You better stand tall. But it might be a little more difficult for you to stand that storm. And then I want to throw this out there as far as even forgiveness is concerned. Because a lot of times when we're dealing with the situations that we're dealing with, we don't have a lot of compassion and mercy for people that are doing something that we were able to conquer. We don't have a lot of compassion for it.
I can give you a perfect example of that. The worst person to be around if you smoke is an ex-smoker.
Oh, my God.
That's not true. To other smokers. Oh, come on, give it up. Get that struggle.
Yes,
and go. We don't work with the hardest. It's the nightmare.
Yes, we don't have a lot of mercy. We don't have a lot of mercy for them. But we don't know what's going on in their life. We don't know why they're having such a stronghold.
And we forget the stronghold that was on our lives. And it's almost like stand-up soldier.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you can't smoke it around.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Did y'all hear what
Betty
just said?
What did you say?
No, you can't smoke in my house. You got to go outside.
I don't think that was the problem, Betty.
Betty, did you used to smoke?
Cigarettes?
No. Are you an ex-smoker?
Cigarette, no way. I can't stand
cigarettes. Did you hear that?
Yeah, tell her to be quiet.
Okay. All right, Betty. All right, Betty.
My sister was a chain smoker, and she ended up with throat cancer.
My God. Yeah, well, you know, you were blessed by that. So, but what we're saying
that's
is
what
that
they say.
You did not have a problem with cigarettes. There are people. There was this brother that was sitting up in the hospital when you could smoke in hospitals. He had a tracheotomy, and he had the cigarette up to the hole in his neck, drawing. Okay? Because he needed smoke that bad.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have wanted to be in his place.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's so simple. It's like, that's ridiculous. He should have been able to let those cigarettes go. But there was a stronghold. I know we're getting ready to get off the air, but somebody look up that word stronghold. Because a stronghold ain't nothing to play with, you know?
No,
and sometimes a stronghold for you could be anything. But for others, and especially if I was able to give it up, like you see people that are not overweight, and they were able, or someone who was overweight, and they were able to stop eating, and it was, and they figured it out. It's like, have mercy on people that are overweight, because it's not simple. It's a discipline and a stronghold. And see, a stronghold can work for and against you, because the Most High is our stronghold too. How about that?
Yeah.
You know, he says, our stronghold, I will not be shaken, because that's the Most High is our stronghold. But did you find it yet? The definition of stronghold? All right. Go ahead, read it.
A place that has been fortified to actually protect it against an attack.
Okay. So if you're a smoker and it's a stronghold and this is a place that's fortified, I mean, your whole being is fighting to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Every fiber of your being, it's not just habitual, it's physical, it's mental, it's emotional. It's all tied up in you, and it's a stronghold. Is there any further definition to it?
Strongholds fell to enemy attacks. And another one, the second one is a place where a particular cause or belief is strongly defended or upheld.
Okay. See, so we can see on both sides of that fence where if we make God our stronghold, because he will be that to us, we're not easily shaken. But these other things, these sins that so easily beset us, those are the problems in our life that we need to work hard at getting rid of and be merciful to others that are stumbling through trying to make it, to be in prayer so that we can continually pray for the family of God, for us, that we can forgive them, that we can have, just as scripture said, the whole duty of man to live justly and to love mercy, to be merciful to others, because we don't know, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be out there smoking something more than cigarettes. Something more than cigarettes. We'd all be out there strung out. And right now, Sister Betty, you're saying I can't stand.
The other day, remember how we were talking about that? How, you know, we believe that our mother prayed for us so hard is the reason why we are where all our friends are. They grew up in that same block, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And they went down a different path. You know, that's another thing for intercessory prayer, because if you're not praying for others like your children, they may not have a prayer. You hear that thing and say, he didn't have a prayer. And that's true. Nobody was praying for that person, you know.
And we have to pray for the church like that.
Yeah,
I have another definition.
Absolutely.
The definition of a stronghold is a place that has been secured tightly in case of attack. Or a place where a particular belief or ideology is firmly believed and staunchly defended. A well-protected military fortress is an example of a stronghold. So that means that
I can show you.
Protect
that habit that they have.
They hold it onto it as a protection. It's like a something. What you call it? That they are. They need it.
Yeah,
well,
it's an addiction.
It's an addiction.
We need to denounce every stronghold.
Bringing down strongholds. Denounce every stronghold
that's not like Christ, and make Christ our stronghold. We need to be anchored in him, like you said, sister. He needs to become our stronghold. He needs to be dominating those places in our hearts that we have we have so willingly given to other people and other circumstances, other spirits that are residing in us that don't belong, we have to evict them, kick them out. We say Christ.
Oh.
We have to speak the truth, speak the things that are not as though they were, and begin to say that, Christ, you are my stronghold. You dominate every facet of my life, my prayer life, everything. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
He has become our stronghold.
That's a very good point in reference to that, the strongholds.
Mm-hmm.
Just mention something about the letter people. See what happens. There is a stronghold of protection.
Isn't that the
around
truth?
Gang.
Mm-hmm.
Just go ahead and try it. This is supposed to be a small percentage of the population whose fight has only been for a short amount of time, and they've got more power than everybody on the planet, man.
It's scary. Well, you know, guys, we are at the bottom of the hour, and I praise the Most High. We have made it through the scriptures. And in the last few verses, we know that thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. We know what that's about. But we just want to say thank you, Lord, for teaching us to pray. Thank you.
Amen.
And Sister Jackie, can you close us out in prayer? But just before you close us out, I just want to bring this again to the table. Go listen to Elder Carr's lesson today on our position in the hospital, with respect to the hospitals, because it's a necessary thing to know as being part of GOCC. So you know how to speak to others, you know how to speak to yourself, and you know what to do, and you know what the church actually stands for. Okay, so let's take that. Let's do that. All right. So, sister, unless anybody else has anything that they just must bring, I just want to say I loved this discussion that we've had here. I challenge more sisters to get closer in, and we can bring you in to the fold, to the Daughters of Zion, and really, really continue to lift each other up in prayer and break down those strongholds. But go ahead, unless someone else wants to say something, Sister Jackie, take us, pray us out.
Sister,
Father,
someone was saying something.
I said, sisters, I love all of you. Continue a beautiful week.
Thank you. You too, Sister Betty.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Jackie. Mm-hmm.
So, Father Haya, we just give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we thank you so much for just drawing us together for such a time as this so that we can make your word known. We thank you for the Lord's Prayer and that all that you have taught us this evening. We just pray that your word would take root in our heart, God, and that it would bring forth fruit, God, for righteousness, for kingdom building, Father.
Mm.
We just thank you for everyone on this line. We thank you for our elders tonight. We ask that you bless them and strengthen them, protect them, and save them from every trick and plot and scheme of the evil one, Father. We can't thank you enough tonight for your love and your kindness. We thank you for breath, for life, for health, for strength. And we thank you for being our stronghold tonight.
Amen.
We thank you for being our strong tower, for being our deliverer. We thank you for delivering us and redeeming us, Lord, redeeming us, God, to righteousness, Lord, for your glory, Father. And we thank you for Sister Shirley for having this call and moderating. And we just thank you for everyone. We give thanks, and we just love you so much, Lord. We lift you up. We praise you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and
yes,
the praise.
Father, thank
because
you.
Because you are worthy, and there is nobody like you nowhere, Father. You are
God
that sit in heaven. You are God alone, and there is nobody like you. No other God like you. You are the Most High God,
And we call you by your name, Ahaya,
yes,
your
do.
Sacred name.
Ahaya.
We
yes,
thank
Lord,
you and we
yes.
bless you and we honor you in
yes.
the name of Yeshaya by Hashem Yeshaya will walk. All
yes.
praise.
All right. All right. What a powerful prayer. I want everybody have a wonderful night, but I just want to close out with Our Father, which
yes.
art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Shalom all. Peace. Peace and blessings. Everybody have a wonderful night.
You too.